Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. You can go to the websites, JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. JackieCation.com has DorkForest.com. It has the audio links. It has the video links to my YouTube. It has all of my dates for stand-up comedy. It has all the merch. It's got Dork Forest merch and stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs if you have those devices. Other things you can do, Bandcamp. There's a Bandcamp with the very old episodes. Some of them are free. And then there's a storytelling album that you can get on my Bandcamp. And I'm on Pandora and Spotify. It is 2025, and feel free to start donating to the Dork Forest. Yeah, cost me about 10 grand a year to put this up. If everybody donated $100 every year, if everybody just handed me $100 every time they saw me, or PayPal, Venmo, then I would have, I think, about 10 grand. I don't know, but I would have enough money to run this and probably buy myself lunch. And I'm a big fan of doing the show. I'll do it anyway. But if you have $100, send me $100. If you have $2, send me $2. You can do it monthly on PayPal. There's buttons all over my website. And my Venmo is just my name. No hyphen. Jackie Cation. I'm wearing a red shirt. Let's get into the show. Oh my gosh, I'm in a hotel in Tarrytown, New York, on the road, but we're doing a Dork Forest, and Mike Drucker's back on the show. Welcome back to the show, Mike Drucker.
Hey, everybody. If you don't remember me, I'm Mike Drucker.
You're Mike Drucker, and it's at Mike Drucker, or at Mike Drucker is Dead.
Yep.
And you have a book that's coming out April 1st, and it's called Good Game, No Rematch.
Yep.
And you've been on twice. You did VR headset games, and then mm-hmm. you did horror games.
Yeah.
And it turns out you might still be gaming.
Yep, still so, gaming.
Still gaming. Still going to dork out about some gaming. Now here, Andy specifically picked the topic because, you know, he's publishing this year himself a tabletop role-playing game.
Oh, sweet.
So, yeah, a book, The Hero Instant. So it's a superhero tabletop RPG. So you play tabletop RPG solo version.
Yes, yes. I should say that, you know, there's actually like a lot of tabletop RPGs that are made to be played solo. So it's not necessarily like I'm not just like taking D&D 5th edition rules and going on my own.
Right.
Although you can do that. It's like there's this wide genre, and it's especially big in the indie space, but a massive genre of solo tabletop RPGs that sort of vary in range from very simple, almost like writing experiment to basically D&D, but just yourself. And it's wow. super fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Andy said that he had heard it obviously, and he had seen it and he had not done it, but, some of the bigger ones that do, I mean, obviously in indie, that makes more sense. Everyone I know who did any sort of, I think it's new-ish
yeah.
to have the solo version.
I think so.
Because everyone that I've ever talked to who did solo when they were kids, they didn't really do solo. They just memorized the books because there was no one to play with.
Yeah.
So what, have you done any of the bigger ones? Have you done like, I don't know, the, Champions or like what ones that I might have heard of?
You know what? One of the best ones I've played recently is called Star Trek Captain's Log. And it's actually based on the rules of Star Trek Adventures, the tabletop role-playing game for more than one person.
Right.
And what Captain's Log does is it takes the same rules and kind of like simplifies them down just, I'd say, like one degree. So there's a little less like arguing over the rules and a little more just moving the narrative forward. But that one is an example of like, that is a thick, heavy book that just looks like a smaller version of any player's guide you'd see for a role-playing game. And it has like everything from how to design your ship to how to randomly generate missions to how to deal with momentum and threats. Because it's based on Star Trek, there's also like a ton of like lore that it adds in and how to work with that lore and different species abilities. So for something like Star Trek Captain's Log, imagine the way you'd make a character in D&D or Call of Cthulhu or Star Trek, and it's that in depth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's like one of like, that's if you're very, very into regular tabletop RPGs, that might be like kind of a good gateway.
Okay. And just so, just for people who don't know and me.
Yeah.
because here's, whenever I've made characters in tabletop RPGs, Andy's done most of the heavy lifting. It's not my favorite part to make the characters. It's not my favorite part to make a deck in Magic the Gathering. It's, I mean, there are people who like that part of it. That's the fit. They're like, I need to find a graph. I need to roll.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different thing. So using Captain's Log as an example.
Yeah.
Let's say I take it you get to be the captain.
If you want to. The rules also allow you to be any
like
member of the crew.
Person or, okay. Oh, that's amazing. So you pick the character.
Yeah.
And then the way it's set up is if you pick a supporting character, like if someone else is the captain.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. So you pick the character and then you write, of course, your backstory, your name, your whatever you want. Are there prompts? Are there graphs and stuff that could prompt you? Or
So the way Star Trek works, and the way a lot of solo RPGs work, is they use I forget what they call it, but they call it something very Star Trek-y in the book, like something like unpredictability matrix or something like that. But nice. Essentially, it's a bunch of tables in the back of the book where, depending on the game, you might roll a d20, a d6, or like a couple dice, and then you have multiple answers. But they'll have everything from, you know, for Star Trek, it'll be like random encounters, but it'll also be like what the storyline is. Like, it's not giving you a full prompt, but it might be like, you might roll and it might be like ancient alien artifacts. And you're like, okay, so we have a starting place for what this is about. Or you might roll for like a danger that comes and you're like, okay, I've rolled that Klingons arrive. Right. And part of what you're doing with these games is you're also the game. The book is sort of the game master, but so are you, in that you're like, okay, I'm telling a story of what happens when they get here. And and for someone like, I don't know about you, but I grew up with a very intense imagination, especially by myself. And so it's almost like, you know, it's almost like for something like Star Trek, it's almost like if you were writing fan fiction, but you kind of had like fun little guardrails that were helping you around with it.
Mike,
of course, yes.
Can I tell you that this literally, when I was, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, because when I was about 9 years old and 10 years old, my parents told me that I was insane and that I was nuts because I would play this incredibly intense imagination game that I called Imagination. And all it was I would take whatever TV, movies, or books that I was reading and mash them together and make myself a character.
Yeah.
And and play in the basement. And the furnace was my time travel, or it was my spaceship because it had handles on it. Or if it was winter, I would build an igloo into a snowdrift and stay out as long as I could. Like I mean, that's what this is. Where it's the book that essentially says you get to be in Star Trek.
Exactly.
But we're gonna prompt a bunch of, and we're gonna pull alien, like, you know, artifacts. We're gonna pull archaeology into it if you like. We're gonna pull some sort of war thing into it.
Yeah.
We're gonna pull whatever you want to do. Oh well, this is. I mean, granted, I do like playing games with others. And just because playing alone was epic, but my parents vaguely ruined it. Thank you so much. As much as I love them. Them, I ended up writing for 10 years. I wrote to Sigmund Freud to figure out why I was so in my head so much. So I'm out of my mind. Anyway, so, but I interrupted. So, okay.
Yeah.
I interrupted you
any chance you could regain the thread? Because it just shocked me into like completely leaving the entire program.
But that's the whole thing. And you know, I had been like dabbling in solo RPGs for a while, but I think it was during the pandemic when that really hit, when I was like, all right, I really want to like do something that when I'm feeling a little isolated, because we all had Zoom D&D games, but there's also something to being really stuck in one space forever that we had for that year that I really started to get into these. And I've also found them to be good, you know, when I'm writing a movie or if I'm writing like a, you know, spec script for a TV show. I don't use these to write them, but they're good ways to like sort of kickstart your imagination. It's a good way. It's almost like a good warm up. You know?
Well, and it feels like what you said initially about how it being sort of a writing exercise in some cases are,
And some of them, like, there's a game called Quill that's literally a writing exercise.
And that's, it's write a story, you're in it. You get to be a character in it.
Even better for Quill. Quill is probably, if you were looking for the simplest, easiest to get into solo RPG, I'd recommend Quill. And I think a lot of people do.
Okay.
And the reason is it is a game where you pick a character and all the characters are predetermined and pre-made. So it's anything from a monk or a prince, you know, like a princess or some sort, you know, like medieval people. And then...
sword and sorcery stuff?
Sword and sorcery stuff.
Okay.
And then you get, essentially, you pick a person you're writing to, like a duke of some sort, and it gives you a prompt, but you have to write 5 paragraphs. You have to write a letter to this person, but there's roles within the paragraph to see how you're doing. So, like, you have to include certain words in what you're writing, but if you roll well, you include what's called a superior word, which gives you bonus points, and if you roll poorly, it's an inferior one. And based on the score at the end, you get like a result of how the letter is received. And the thing is, yes, you could just write a crappy 5-paragraph letter where you try to stick in the words anywhere. But as a writing exercise, if you're getting creative with it, you can really have fun being like, oh, I'm going to think out what this letter is, what this story is. I'm going to try to like explore the space with it. And so Quill's also kind of fun because it's a good determinant if you'd enjoy a solo role-playing game.
Right. Because it's just you.
Yeah.
And much like playing solitaire by yourself, you could cheat.
Yes.
And no one would know.
Yeah.
And the only reason you cheat at solitaire, regular solitaire, in my opinion, is because you don't want to reshuffle.
Exactly.
You just want to at least win and then reshuffle and start over. So you could cheat if you wanted to, but it doesn't make the game any funner. You're just like, well, that was satisfying in the fact that now they're all laid out and I can reshuffle.
Exactly.
But with that, so the Quill thing, is it a book or is it online? Interactive? Yep.
You can get it as a book. If any of you folks are searching for these, almost everything can be found on a site called Drive-Thru RPG.
Okay.
And I think that, and I'm not like sponsored by them, so Google it to make sure you get the right, but I think it's like Drive-Thru, THRU, the way like, you know, you sort of see it, RPG.
Right.
And they have a lot of this stuff as PDFs. You can also buy a lot of them as books. And I have often done both.
Right. Well, I was playing, there's a D&D PAX, you know, a crossover acquisitions, and it's sort of a capitalist game of... Yeah. And it came out of Clank, and it's sort of attached. It's weird. And so Andy found the book on sale, and then he was like, I don't want to also buy the PDF, but for some reason they won't just give me the PDF.
Yeah.
If you buy the hardcover, you will often get the PDF for free.
Yeah.
So you can buy them both. I own, there are many books in the real world that I also own on Kindle and on Audible.
Right.
So,
Such as
I can
Good
enjoy.
Game, No Rematch by Mike Drucker coming April 1st.
Exactly.
April 1st.
Coming April 1st, you could get it all three. Do you read it for Audible?
I do. It's like, it was like doing 7 comedy albums in a row.
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. That's key. Because it is a memoir, right?
Yeah. It's a memoir, but it's a memoir through the lens of video games. So every story is connected to a game in some way or another. I got the inspiration from all, because there's a lot of books where people do that with music and a lot of books where people do that with movies, but I have not seen that with a video game book. There's a lot of like the history of video games, but there's not like a lot of here's how the culture of it changed me as a person.
Maybe I'll do it with romance novels.
Yeah.
you could do it with anything. It would be, and this is when I read my first mystery. And then I read this mystery. And then someone tried to get me into reading a cozy mystery. And I was like, fuck off. I don't need a muffin recipe. Anyway. So drivethroughrpg.com has a lot of these.
Has a lot of these.
Okay. And are the ones on drivethroughrpg kind of the more indie ones?
They have more indie ones. They also have a lot of stuff. I do think they have like Star Trek Captain's Log. As far as I've experienced, that's almost for me the go-to for like buying the digital version of anything, maybe outside of actual Dungeons and Dragons. Like I think they carry Call of Cthulhu. They might even carry D&D, and I just don't know. But like most everything that's not D&D, I usually get from DriveThruRPG. And if anyone from that website's listening, that was unsponsored, so maybe a free book or two.
Right, dude. Throw a credit towards us. It turns out we're using these documents. I know. I got a Hero Forge did advertising on my other podcast, which didn't make any sense to me because it's a stand-up podcast, and Lori didn't want a character, and I was like, "Can I please have yours? I have at least three that I need to make."
Right.
And they're $35 each, but they're also Hero Forge is also, and this is unpaid for too. Feel free, Hero Forge, to advertise on the Dork Forest. But they're doing, remember Shrinky Dinks?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could do Hero Forge 3D characters, but they'll also do the one that you designed as like a Shrinky Dink.
That's really nice.
And they're only $12.
That's not bad.
As opposed to $35.
Yeah, that is impulse buy level. I think that's the other problem with a lot of these solo RPGs is like on these websites, they cost like $5. And so I'm like, well, for $5, I can certainly try this.
Right. And so do you have some backlogged where you're just just stacks of them or a stack where you're like, I don't feel like doing anything that is right in front of me. Maybe I'll try this one.
Yeah.
So what are the ones that you've played that are kind of faves? Besides the Captain's Log sounds cool and the quill thing sounds amazing.
There's one called Thousand-Year-Old Vampire that is almost somewhere between the two of them. And you can get this as a PDF, but they also make a very beautiful hardcover edition of it. But essentially, you design a vampire, give it a little background, and then you have a series of prompts. But the cool thing is the prompts themselves are decided randomly. They have a very simple mechanism for making the prompts progress through sort of like a span of time, but at the same time, randomizing those events as you go through time.
Right. You're not going to fall back and become like a novice.
Right.
Vampire.
Exactly.
It's balanced correctly.
It's balanced super well. And it asks you really like good heartbreaking questions, where you're like, you know, you're writing the story of this vampire and at times it'll like make you. You know, you can remember certain things, but then over time you start to forget things. Over time you start to lose things or build relationships. And it actually, again, if you're someone who has a very thorough imagination like you and I do, you really start to imagine it. You start to explore it. You start to really like write journal entries. Like the way they encourage it is almost like you're writing a journal entries as this ancient vampire. And you just get into this mindset. And the longer you play it, like any tabletop role-playing game campaign, the more you're really invested in this character.
Right.
Yeah.
So the writing stuff I get.
Yeah.
Is there combat? Because oftentimes you like to do combat in these things.
In a lot of these things there is. And there's also like combat heavy ones. Like there's a series of books called Micro RPG. They're also called Micro Chapbook RPG. I don't know why some are.
Why?
No idea.
Yeah.
But what's great about it is it's this It's a role-playing game system designed for solo. And by the way, a lot of these also say, like, you know, if you enjoy playing solo, you can also play it with more than one person. Like, you know, Captain's Journal might have, you know, easily. Anyway, so for the micro-RPG books, you have simplified rules. And you, what they usually do is they help you generate a dungeon randomly. Dungeon meaning it could be, like, if it's a horror game and you're in a high school, the dungeon would be that high school. It'll help you generate a dungeon through rolls. And then it'll populate the dungeon through rolls. And then there's, like, actual combat.
Okay.
And some of these games are, like, straight-up dungeon crawlers. Like, if you want... I forget the exact name of it, but there's something called, like, literally, like, paper dungeons. And it's just very, very, very simple D&D rules for having a party of people going through a dungeon. So if you're like, if you're like, I don't want to write a story, I just want to go on an adventure, that's also available.
Okay. So, yeah, because I could see in a solo game where you're just like, you're writing and you're writing and you're writing and you're writing. You're like, well, what do I do with this character now that I've created this extraordinary character?
The nice thing is a lot of these games have, especially the newer ones, including Thousand-Year-Old Vampire, have a conclusion. So...
Okay.
So it's usually, think of it less like, you know, a D&D character that gets more powerful forever and more like, you know, there's eventually going to be an ending, but that itself will come in a certain random way and you get to decide how your character reacts, responds to it. So they build in an arc. So you know what I mean? So like there's an end point. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love that because that, kind of a choose your own adventure kind of thing.
Yeah. Even
with more work to it.
Yeah.
A little more game to it.
Exactly. I mean, even a captain's log, which is much more like a regular one, it breaks things into acts. So it sort of wants you to have like a couple scenes per act, but it wants you to have like act one, act two, act three, where you have sort of a finale. Like, it's almost, so that game, while you don't have like a finality for your character, it's almost designed to create an episode of the show.
Right. Or a mission.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What a good idea. That sounds great. Where if there's a mission, I'll do a mission.
Yeah.
And then I can do another mission or not.
Exactly.
I've had a lovely time. Now I'm going to go learn how to grow peas in a different role playing game where I'm a farmer.
Right.
And are the themes.
I'm so sorry. That was my alarm to do your podcast.
Oh, fair enough. You guys, I'm with Mike Drucker, just so you know. And Drucker is spelled like Drucker. D-R-U-C-K-E-R. Mike, spelled like Mike, M-I-K-E. And it's at Mike Drucker, or Mike Drucker is dead. And he has a book coming out April 1st, 2025. Good game. No rematch. It's available on all the things.
If you like video games.
Pre-order it.
Yeah. Definitely pre-order it. Pre-orders do help. So if you... If you want a comedy book about video games, please pre-order.
There you go. Right? Easy enough. And so the question was going to be, so you've done the writing, you've done the playing, and sometimes it's combat, sometimes it was topics, much like stand-up comedy and board games.
Yeah.
Are they all the topics? Is everything available? Like, it could be about anything, kind of?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, going back to those micro RPG books, they literally have Halloween and Christmas ones, where it's like, it helps you do those themes. They have, there's a ton of horror ones. And even the horror ones themselves, there's like a ton of like subgenres within the horror. There's like weird horror, there's slasher horror. So, you know, it's not just like Frankenstein and the Mummy, like, although those two, it's like they actually have like cool things within those. And for some of the games, like, again, going back to Star Trek, there are kind of like thematic elements that you generate through it. So, so it's not just like, you know, a dry go to this mine, solve this mystery, go home. Like sometimes it'll be like, you know, these people don't want your help. You know, and so you're like trying to get around that.
You have to do charisma. And you have to, you know, you have to justify your interaction and the prime directive and all of these things.
Exactly.
So, because I have seen this, I've seen more and more board games that are based on escape rooms.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that too.
And so, nope, not interested at this time. But that doesn't mean it can't be well done. It doesn't mean that if right. you're not doing them and you love it, you love them, and you don't want to come on and you want to come on the Dork Forest, feel free to tell me. But so my question is are there ones that are kind of puzzle based though?
That's a really good question. And
yeah,
my
yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I actually can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm sure the answer is yes. And I'm sure there's someone listening to this that's like, you moron, it's the most popular one.
No, or it's the one, it's not the one that you like.
Right, exactly.
So it's not the one that you seek out. So there probably is all the things. I mean, if you want to be a pirate, I bet you there's a pirate one.
Yeah.
If you want to be a space person. If you, yeah.
And there are space persons one. If there are space
yes.
persons.
You get out there. You get out there, you genderless space person. Yeah. And then, so, yeah. So that was the only question I thought of offhand is the thing about the puzzles. But I yeah. like the idea. Okay. So the ones that you've, and then the other question is are there ones that are supposed to be funny? Are there comedy sort of based ones or that is anyone trying to be funny or are they trying to be romantic or are they trying to be porny? Are there different.
Now yeah. the answer to these my answer from my knowledge base to all of this is probably. Especially horny. There's got to definitely be a solo horny game. And now I feel like I'm going to see if there is one. And some of them get kind of like, they get like horny. Like there'll be questions where it's like, you know, you've taken, a human, like for some of these prompts where it's like, you know, you've taken a human lover. What will you do with that? How does this relationship fall apart? And you kind of have to think through that.
Right, right.
So there's like a way to make it horny. There's no super funny one off the top of my head, but I'm probably almost forgetting something. I mean, the fact that they did a Christmas one for the micro RPG, like it is very tongue in cheek. Like you could play, like it's essentially okay. You have to go through like three levels of Santa's workshop to beat Krampus.
Oh, okay.
But like, and the weapons are like candy cane sword and stuff. So I guess like, you know, in the sense where there's some tongue in cheek ones there. Yeah, definitely.
Like Kingdom Hearts where you have a key.
Oh yeah.
That is a, yeah. Instead of, cause they don't want to give actual weapons to Santa's helpers. You just want to start. So it's not Brian Posehn's comic book. Or that Futurama one where I think everybody dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like it because the point and purpose, as far as I can tell, how long have you been playing RPGs?
Oh, man. Since elementary school, maybe.
Yeah. The whole time. Ever since you were told that there were RPGs, you were like, oh, turns out I will be playing these. And so what do you think about this? Now, I've talked to several people about it. I've only been playing since I met Andy. So that's as long as I've been playing D&D and all that. So, but what I was told is that one of the great things about role-playing games and tabletop role-playing games is because you don't dress up, it's as opposed to sort of live-action role-playing games right. where you dress, it's a costume party with game mechanics is how I first learned about live-action role-playing games. You are just sitting at a table with dice, pen and paper,
yeah.
and your brain box. And when you play with other people, when you create a character, this is what I was told about the whole experience is that it's a way to get kind of introverted, gaming oriented people mm-hmm. to learn to have better social skills and to role play different life experiences. So making them sort of more able to think, well, if I'm what would I be like as a hero? What yeah. would I be like as a villain? What would I be like as a woman? What would I be like as a dog? What would I, you know, whatever, because you could be anything in these games.
Yeah.
Do you like to mix it up or are you usually a human man?
Oh, I almost never play a human man. I think my go-to is usually like, you know, usually something like one. I you know what? Ever since I was a kid, I don't think I usually played as women in games. And I think that has more to do with I just grew up around like a lot of shitty men that I didn't like very much.
And you're so, like, what would this be like if I didn't have to model that?
Like, oh, yeah. The people who are generally nicer and more attractive to me. All right. I'm going to go play as them. I vary it up. Like I try to play, you know, different species in different games. Like I'll play, you know, like a tiefling bard or, you know, I like to mix it up because I do like to pretend to be something I'm not. You know, and it's
that's what I mostly hear.
Yeah. To me, that's a lot more fun. Like, like a while back, I was in a role playing game where like all the guys were just like human fighters. And I was like, you guys didn't even try to explore the space.
Right. Andy's usually like some sort of, he likes to be like a halfling, but also a barbarian.
Yeah.
Like, or like the tiniest, but also the strongest.
Right.
Or the biggest, but also the smartest. And like just some, like he likes to mix up all of the different characteristics.
Yeah.
So that he can be something else that is weird. Right.
Exactly.
And I was explaining this to actually a non-gamer about how I tend to dress like the men that I'm attracted to. And so, like, I was at an airport and I saw a guy in a pair of sweatpants that made me feel things. So I bought those sweatpants in an effort to think, well, I wonder if I wore those sweatpants if I would feel those things again. And I was telling my friend Colin that, and Colin goes, oh my God, that's why I wore women's jeans in college. And
yeah.
And I was like, oh, fair enough, brother. And so I've weeded off again. Anyway, so I love that. I love that, like, so are there ones that have endings that are like can also be ongoing that you're still doing right now? Like, what are your favorites? What were your favorites? What are your favorites, and what is ongoing?
Sure,
I guess are my questions.
Outside of, well, I'd say definitely for favorites. If you're leaning more towards the writing side, I would say Quill, Thousand Year Old Vampire. There's another one where you play a god that's similar to a Thousand Year Vampire, but I just forgot the title just now.
Right.
If you're looking for something that's a little more middle of the road, micro RPG is great. The rules are simplified. They're not as complicated as D&D. They're also, what's nice about micro RPG is the rules are applicable if you wanted to expand it out to multiple people. It's designed to be solo, but at the same time, a lot of the things that are like designed to be solo, like choosing what monsters go where, you could just become a game master and do and use these simplified rules. Those are great if you want a game that gives you like, I'm drawing a map on graph paper and I'm, figuring out which of my exits there are and how much life I have if I want to fight this dragon. I would say the micro RPG series will give you what you need in a very simple, fun way. But I'd also say like, you know, explore it. Like one of my new favorite ones is this game that's called The Skeletons.
Okay.
And in it, and it's actually for 1 to 5 people. And it's you could say it's prompt based, but it's a little more like you're just talking it out with each other prompts. It's less like keeping a journal, but you play a skeleton in a tomb that rises to life and fights off whenever intruders arrive.
Okay.
But the rub of it is that you only remember what you used to be while you're alive in those few minutes you're fighting someone. So the game sort of essentially makes you like describe like what you're thinking about when you're like fighting these people and how well you do and what that means. And the prompts do a good job of both like evoking a battle, but also at the same time making you be like, wait, who was I in love with? Like, who was that?
Oh,
and so
okay.
you sort of are like making it up as you go. And then you roll in the skeletons to see how much time passes before the next intruder. And sometimes it's like eons. And then you have to actually like redraw the map. You're encouraged to like redraw the map if it's been thousands of years because the landscape's changed.
Right.
and the nice thing about that one is It doesn't have a strict ending, but it basically has a, you will probably, it's almost like there's an 80% chance that your skeleton is destroyed in the last scene of the game, based on how it's built.
Right.
That said, you can still survive it. It's just, I don't know, it's just, it's really, it's a fun, creepy game. And the thing is, it's, I will say, it is a solo RPG that is very simple to play multiplayer with a bunch of people as a party game. Now, it's a bit of a bummer party game. Like, during the time period, like, let's say you roll and you have 100 years before the next intruder, you're encouraged to dim the lights of your room or close your eyes for 2 minutes and sort of feel the time pass and then continue playing. So you're supposed to almost like role play like a small period of like waiting. Just so you can feel like the nothingness as time passes.
That's incredible.
It's really
honestly cool.
That is
really cool. It's, yeah, and really gives a sense of the game.
Yeah.
It makes it a real game.
Yeah.
With, you know, I play a fair amount of games. I don't think I realized how many games Andy was playing when I was home for like a month after I had COVID last year. And, he's got people come over to the house every 2 days to play board games and RPGs and playtest and all these different games. And so I have played a myriad of games. Plus, I've also done where I'm in a legacy game.
Yeah.
I'm also in 3 Hero Instant games where I play 3 different characters that I got to create. The characters I created, one is I play an archaeologist who accidentally found a Quetzalcoatl Central American, South American flying dragon goddess. I found an archaeological amulet that gives me those powers.
Oh.
And I am a middle-aged white lady, and so the locals are very angry that I have co-opted. And in the Hero Instant, there's sort of dis-ads. They're called drama points.
Yeah.
And they're negative, the negative traits that can be used to get against me, in my case, are a sense of entitlement and a need to be a bit of a know-it-all. And then, so that's one of the characters I play. Another one I play is a corporate superhero team set in Wisconsin in my hometown of South Milwaukee. And I play the HR person, and I'm psychic, and which would be the worst if there was an HR person who had psychic powers. And but that, I mean, each of these characters I created, and it's I kind of want to hear about the characters you're creating in those different programs.
Sure. Yeah. You know, like, the first time I played the skeletons, I played it by myself. And there's also different skeleton characters you can pick in the book that sort of have, like, their own, like one, like, you know, some one looks like a warrior. One looks like almost like an amalgamation of skeletons, like a cursed kind of being. And so that gives you a little something to work off, too. But basically, one of them is like a child with a very large head. And so I sort of developed it as this, and this is, I'm realizing how dark this character is as I'm about to describe it, but I made it this like character that's, you know, born to these people who, when a character has this condition, they became almost like worshipped and venerated. But they're also then like locked away, almost like in an people who walk away from Omalis situation, where it's like a child who has to be almost sacrificed. Like they're the most special child in, you know, the society,
right?
But they have to be sacrificed. So the child is locked within this tomb.
Okay. And
it's sort of like, but here's the thing: is then you have like grave robbers coming in, and there's a child with a giant skull that's just killing them while remembering like what it was like to feel like the grass under his feet. And it's,
oh my god!
And it just became this like very weird, dark story.
Yes.
Where eventually,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And the child like eventually like accepted like its place because so much time had passed that it like the tradition had changed.
Right.
But again, like it was just a really cool on the fly story. And these are also, I would say these also work well when you don't spend a ton of time thinking about what you're going to do when you're just
right.
race into battle.
Yes. I just need to. So are in the skeleton one, are you like, how powerful are you as a skeleton? Like where is your power coming from besides brittle bone syndrome? Because you're made of bones. Are you adamantian? What was it replaced with?
It's less like there's no stats. There's no stats deciding like what you have or what weapon you have, like all of that you make up. It's almost like you assume you're beating them except for how and like essentially like how it turns out. Like you can sort of get damaged in some way. You know, and
right.
The thing is, there's no gameplay mechanics or math that damage reflects. It's more like when you're telling the story, if, you know, a grave robber shattered your arm and now you only have like one hand to hold a sword, you know,
right.
Maybe you incorporate that into the story, or it's just something you imagine more with the character. So it's less like, it's less like, okay, go to page 387. This now means this or
right.
that. It's a little more like, okay, well, how would this battle play out? What's a way that the intruders would leave without defeating my character, or
right.
something along those lines?
How can I defeat the character by using what is now
right.
my broken other arm? Maybe it broke off in a pointy way. If
right.
you could
exactly.
turn around the femur and poke him in the eyeball. And
yeah.
So when the skeleton wins, does the skeleton get to roll the bodies, or does the skeleton immediately when the
fall
intruder
back.
Is defeated? Falls back.
You fall back, and then you roll to see like how long of a slumber they have
before
until
the
more
next.
Intruders.
I like the idea of that, because if it's 100 years or 1,000 years, your tomb could now be a shopping center.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or,
exactly.
Or a wasteland, or you know, the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And that's what's fun about it, though, is exactly what you're doing right now, is that it gives you
okay.
like a little spark of imagination. You're like, oh, man, 1,000 years from now there, you know, there's a shopping mall that's built over it, or the location's
yeah.
literally a shopping mall. So exactly what you're doing, where you're like, oh, these prompts are like sparking ideas.
Yeah.
You
that's
know,
awesome.
And you and I are like, we're in creative careers, so we're very lucky that that's a natural thing for us to have to do. Just to survive is to, you know, think of fun, creative situations. But these
sure.
are really good at like, the best of them are really good at giving that to anybody who might want to do that. It's sort of like a, oh,
right.
okay, then the character does this. You know, it's
right.
almost like a, you know, it's for a lot of these, it's almost like writing a novel or short stories, but like with, you know, a little help. Not like
yes.
AI, but more like, oh,
right.
that's a good idea. I'll do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's help
just
without
writing
AI.
Prompts.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Writing prompts are not AI or ChatGPT.
Right.
They're not doing it for you. They're just saying, it's actually like Joke Machine, what I do with Maria. I've been trying to figure out a way to do this. I was, whatever. I had a humorous experience at the TSA. And I was like, well, what do you see in that story?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, whatever happened to that guy's dad, or, you know, or whatever she'll say, and it'll bring me in a direction I would never go in.
Right.
And so it's a gift is what it is. Those writing prompts. And that's what this sounds like. It sounds like a really good sort of writing example. If you only wanted it for writing.
Yeah.
As a writing thing, you could do that. But if you, yeah. And because it's themed in so many different ways. Yeah. What's the skeleton one sounds really cool.
Skeletons is great.
What? Yeah. Which one? What else have you been playing?
I
know you like horror, but
I do like horror.
Is there anything fun that isn't horror and not terrifying to me? Like Westerns.
Oh man, there's definitely Western ones. I just don't
yeah.
own any.
Right.
I mean,
why would you go there?
There's
what are you, Louis L'Amour?
I mean, there's one called Loner that has like ultra simple rules. And that one I've been experimenting a bit with just because it's kind of, I don't have it in front of me. And the rules are so simple that I'm going to do a bad job explaining them because they're very loose. But that's actually been a fun one for me trying to just like, that one I've actually tried using a little bit for like generating sitcom ideas. Just because I'm like, okay, I'm going to play through this a little bit. It's very short. It's called Loner. It's called like Loner. And then its subtitle is like another solo RPG. But I've just found that the fact that its rules are simple and vague would be frustrating for a group of people. But for me alone, it's like, okay, I'm just going to go with this interpretation of what this means this way.
Right, because you can. There's no one else to.
Yeah.
Loner solo RPG rules. I'm literally going to Google it. How to play. Wow, someone has made a 30-minute video about that. That feels like overkill. The core rules, third edition.
Yeah.
ZotaQuest games. Wow.
And again,
it's quick to play. Yeah.
A lot of these people are independent developers, independent publishers. So, like, you know, the other thing is I like that when I'm supporting these, I know I'm not just giving all my money to, like, a company that has all the money on earth. I'm giving it to someone who spent, like, 2 years trying to come up with a way to have fun by yourself.
Right. Right. I mean, that's one of the great things about Kickstarter and board games, and the fact that board games do so well on Kickstarter is kind of neat and a little annoying that Marvel United used Kickstarter to do it.
Yeah.
But we did want all of it. So good for them.
Yeah.
And we own $1,000 worth of Marvel United. And if you were to want to play any character, though we can't seem to find the Fantastic Four, very sad. We had to make up an alternative Fantastic Four. a minimalist solo game that will allow you to have an amazing, Freeform Universal.
Yeah, I think
explore them with your protagonist through the Oracle-led emergent narrative and be amazed by the unexpected twists and turns. That sounds like a ChatGPT generated paragraph. that's gone mad. The soft cover is $6. The PDF is, I think, free.
PDF might be. A lot of these are also rules, free.
Yeah. So you're just like, can I please hand you $5?
Yeah.
Is there a way? There's something called Mech Requiem. What the heck is that? It's a fractured earth of the 2300s. You know what? I'm not going to spend this episode of the Dork Forest reading a website.
but you can see there's like a ton of variety. There's a ton of stuff. It's also like, you know what? If and I don't know who I'm pitching this to because of your listener base, but like, it's sort of like if you're not sure if you'd enjoy a regular role-playing game, it's also a nice way to step your toe in the pond without, like, going to a D&D game and hating it.
Right. Are you kidding me? Last episode was about theoretical math. So there are plenty of people who are listening to the show who aren't gamers, who are interested to find out, well, why would this be something I'd like to do?
Fair. Yeah.
Well, the writing prompts are one reason. No one else will play with you is another reason.
That's my reason.
I did 10 years ago, I did an episode. I wish I could remember his name. All I can remember are the games, sadly. he did solo board games.
Yeah.
That he loved. And he turned me on to a solo board game that I ended up playing for like 6 months nonstop called Friday. And
Friday is great. Sorry.
Friday's super fun.
It's so good.
You play Friday. Robert Louis Stevenson's Man Friday.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get Robert Louis Stevenson, you're trying to get Robinson Crusoe off the island. Fucking go.
Yeah.
Let me figure out a way that I can get you past these pirates out of this so that I can get my island back. Having a really good time. And it plays, it looks a little bit like solitaire when you play it out, but it's, the graphics are good. The story's amazing.
It's super fun.
It's a fun game. And anyway, but that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But it led me to be more interested in solo games because there are reasons to play them, even if you do have people to play with. And there are, just because it's fun.
It's fun. You can do it at your own pace. Also, if you're looking for, this is not a solo RPG, but there's a solo board game series that is incredible called Final Girl.
Oh, is it? Yes. I just found out what that meant because someone's dorkdom was Final Girl. And I was like, what does that even mean? And I'll tell you, I found out that it's the girl who lives at the end of horror movies.
That's right. That's right.
And so what's the board game?
So the board game is you have to actually like buy this. You have to like buy the basics of it and then another portion. But essentially each game in the series is like its own horror movie. Like it's a play on classic one. So it's not like, you know, it's not actually Hellraiser, but it's like a Hellraiser type guy. It's not Friday the 13th, but it's like a Jason type guy. And then there's a couple final girls, and it's a solo board game with actual pieces and a map and everything where you're trying to, as the girl, trying to stop the killer. And for whatever reason, in that specific story, you want to stop them. It might be you want to shoot them into space, or you want to, if you're playing the one that's like The Thing, you might be like trying to figure out which of your friends are actually the monster.
I just found out that was the plot of The Thing. Someone was their favorite movie.
It's a very good movie. but the cool thing is you can actually mix and match everything. So like you can take Freddy Krueger, but put it on him on a space station with a character who's like Mrs. Claus, because they have a Christmas one and I love Christmas. So it's actually like very, very fun, but it's solo, but I've found it's very entertaining. That is not a role-playing game, but you know.
Right. Right. While you've been talking about this, I'm like, well, we should definitely invite you over to play games.
Yeah.
Because that's what Andy does. He invites people over to play games, and then they play games. and then I play games, and then I usually make a chicken. But so that's all good times.
Yeah.
And so what else besides Loner? You got one that isn't mentioned yet?
Let me see. I actually made a list. Let me check this list I made.
Ooh. Yeah, check that list.
Check that list.
Let's log. There's only 10 minutes left, but just in case. Yeah. We've been going
I might have actually
minutes.
I might have actually covered all. Oh, there's one called Nomads. Nomads is actually very good. Sort of a sci-fi type one.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
But Nomads are people that wander.
Yeah. But space.
Like the Berber people of Northern. Oh, but space.
But now in space, but you're not necessarily the Berber people, you're in space.
You're just people who move around a lot in space.
Yeah.
You aren't necessarily a North African actual people. Okay, got it.
And I don't have them all in front of me, but there's like one or two that are cartography-based games, which are really fun. It's more like map-making RPG where you're like building. There's one that's called, it has the dumbest title, and I forget what it is. I wish I remember. But anyway, but like it's just you building a map and then like adding residents and landmarks to different parts of a city. And then there's a mechanism within it that sort of tells a story throughout the city where like every round you kind of have to think of like an emotional theme and then develop a story around that. I'm really not explaining it well, but there's very cool ones if you just want to make like a city and tell the story of like your own magical New York. There's a lot of fun ones like that.
That sounds awesome. Would that be something that, my friend who is really into maps might enjoy playing by herself?
Yeah, I think so. I have to find the title of it though, because I am dumb.
No. Not at all. It's there's too many to remember.
Too many.
And there's no way that you could possibly be in charge of remembering all of them. have you ever designed any games yourself?
You know, I've tried to, it's just something that I'm not very good at, or it's that thing where like I don't have a great idea.
It's a learned skill.
It's a learned skill. It's a difficult skill. I think, you know, I think with board games are a lot like when people talk about having an idea for like TV or a movie, where it's like, okay, well, yeah, you have a great idea, but what's the, you know, again, mechanism that it executes through? And you're like, I don't know.
Right.
cards and a deck.
Right, there's a meeple, and then it's worker. I know all the words. I just like, because my idea is, for some reason I wanted to do a game, and we were going to call it The Final Banana, and it was about Carmen Miranda's hat, and and it was just going to be a simple game where you wandered around and you collected fruit, and then you just needed one more banana, and Andy worked on it. Like, he literally, he thought it was funny. Yeah. He thought it was interesting. And he worked on it, and he made it super complicated. And then he made it super simple. And then he was like, yeah, we'll have to come back to it. It didn't pan out. But I think, because it is a different skill set than the things that we do for a living, that anybody does for a living.
Yeah.
Making games and this type of thing, and writing, creating a solo RPG,
yeah,
a way to make it compelling,
mm-hmm.
and super fun and not lonely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where you're not bummed out that nobody else is playing with you, where you finish the game and you're like, no, that was fun. Like when you read a book.
Yeah.
I don't need anyone to read a book with me. So.
Well, I think that's why, like, there's been a large trend in, like, journaling ones, you know, where it wants you to, like, you know, even calling it Captain's Log, and they sort of want you to, like, you know, do the Captain's Log type thing, is because it kind of gives you that feeling of, like, oh, I'm making progress. If I'm writing this in, like, a blank journal, I can, like, it's almost its own book writing itself, literally. Right. And so I think it gives it that feeling, like it makes it less lonely by turning it into a slightly different experience. Like, unlike a solo board game, none of the ones that I have use an actual map or figurines. Like some, you know, you draw on a grid, again, you know, graph paper, but none that I have are like, this is a role-playing game, but you set out a map and you have to like measure 5 meters to fire an arrow.
Right. Right, right. No. Yeah. And, when I played Imagination as a child, there was not a lot of, let's make sure that this, right. You know, I made bows and arrows as a little kid. They were never of any use.
Yeah.
Like I could not, there wouldn't have been me killing a squirrel, which I think really for the best in retrospect. I just think that there's such a really, it's something that I've heard about over the last 10 years, which is the solo game and now the solo RPG. And it might come possibly from the invention of video games themselves,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you're standing, you know, in 1981, when I'm standing in front of a Galaga game or Gorf, it's just me and game. And there might be someone waiting.
Yeah.
There might be someone with a quarter, but that's all there is. It's just the two of us. So me and the machine. So I think it's really cool. And with RPGs in general, I think that they're good for just sort of, they make you examine your psyche in ways that I never thought
I agree
that I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. Yeah. They make you, you know, they make you have to think like, yes, yes, you're pretending to be a skeleton or you're pretending to be a vampire, but it's like, you're like, wait a minute, how would I feel like if I couldn't, like, I couldn't remember the name of my mother, but I also knew that I knew that I couldn't remember her name.
Right, right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
It's like learned empathy, which empathy might be learned anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, Mike Drucker, I say close enough for government work, unless you got something else you want to talk about these games.
No, I mean,
I think we did it.
I think we did it. I mean, like I said, like we said, there's a bunch of them that are free online. Again, the simplest one, probably Quill. If you want something that feels like hardcore, you know, tabletop D&D, I do suggest Star Trek. Please buy Good Game No Rematch. If you like games or if you like nerdy stuff in general, you don't have to be a big gamer now. I explain everything. Please buy it. I'm drowning. I'm drowning.
Good Game No Rematch. Mike Drucker and at Mike Drucker or at Mike Drucker is dead.
Yes.
And He's also a great comic. So
thank you so much.
Feel free to go see a little stand-up comedy. And thank you so much for doing the show, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?